So, you guys bet the Greek as New England is a 1-point favorite. Sounds about right. Most of the books have it around there, don't they? 1, 1.5.
There's very little 1.5s out there. It's mostly ones and pick 'em.
Okay.
And the total is mostly 47.5. There's the odd 48 and the odd 47, but majority 47.5. And yeah, kind of evenly split between pick 'em and 1 point, New England as a favorite.
Jory, when you're talking about the Super Bowl, a sport that, you know, so much money is bet on, and there's so much action on it. Typically, is there a swing leading up to the game, or is it pretty static? You know, historically, has it been pretty static?
What's interesting generally about the Super Bowl is there tends to be an initial move once the line comes out. You know, it can come out like this year. There were books that were putting out lines sort of late in the third quarter of the New England-Indianapolis game when it was well in hand. But by that night, all the lines are up, and there's usually an initial move because a lot of the professionals will want to jump on the line if they think it's a bad number, mm-hmm. and we saw that this year. Then it'll tend to stabilize over the course of most of the 2 weeks. And then when most people come to realize, hey, the Super Bowl Sunday, I got to get my bet in, you'll see a flurry of activity this weekend and quite often on game day as, you know, A, the majority of the public plays, and then the professionals will jump in at that point after seeing what's happened with the line and see it move. So you'll get that initial flurry, then it tends to stabilize, and then you'll see some movement, and we'll be watching that. Obviously very closely on Sunday morning.
Jory Mittelstadt is host of The Bottom Line. It's presented by BetTheGreek.net Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. What do you think this game's going to come down to?
I think there's a few keys. On the New England side of things, we'll talk about their defense first. And look, I'm not going to tell you anything that most people don't know. Two things, obviously containing Beast Mode and Marshawn Lynch and trying to keep him from having those game-changing runs and those big plays that just seem to change momentum in Seattle's favor. And the key to that is you got to do it for four quarters because he quite often will not do a whole lot in the first half, but he wears you down. And they tend not to get away from the running game. We saw that in the NFC Championship game. Even when they were down substantially, 13, you know, 19-7, you know, 13 points, 12 points, they don't get away from the running game. So you got to have your hard hat on for four quarters. And we saw that again, like I said, against Green Bay, where he just went nuts in the second half and really was a huge factor in getting them back into that game. And then the other is containing Russell Wilson and making him beat you out of the pocket. This is the number one rushing team in the league, and it's the combination of Lynch and Wilson. So the New England defense is really going to have to be able to stop that running attack on both counts, both Lynch and Wilson, and making Wilson beat you from the pocket. So I think that's the key for the New England defense, and conversely, the Seattle offense, getting the running game going, whether it's all Lynch or a combination of Lynch and Wilson. On the other side of the ball, I think the key is for how does New England, A, not be one-dimensional? Because when you're one-dimensional against Seattle, it's a huge problem. When they know you're either going to run the ball the majority of the time or throw it almost all the time, it's a problem. So that's part one. And part two is, how does New England find a way to exploit the weakness in the Seattle defense, which is their front? Their back seven, I'm talking linebackers and secondary, is phenomenal. Like, off the charts phenomenal, and they are so fast, and they tackle better than any team in the league. But if they have a weakness, it's running it up the gut, and usually out of a spread. So the key for New England's offense will be, don't be one-dimensional. That doesn't mean that Blunt has to have a huge day, but they have to be able to run the ball at least somewhat effectively, and the teams that have beaten Seattle and or at least had opportunities to do so have been able to establish the run inside, either inside the tackles or even less so inside the guards. I'm talking right up the middle. If Seattle knows it's coming, though, it's a problem. So the challenge for New England will be how to expose that in such a way that Seattle doesn't know it's coming. And then finally, you don't hear a lot of people talk about it, but special teams always matters. Mm-hmm. And last year, especially on punt coverage, the Seattle punt coverage was historically unbelievable. Go back and look at the numbers. Like, it was the best punt return coverage in the history of the league, and it's fallen off a little bit this year. They've had a kick blocked, one or two. So I think special teams will be a big factor, and I think New England's going to try and find ways to take advantage of a weaker special teams unit than we've seen in the past. And in fact, one of the Seattle losses this year was to the Rams, and it was all because of special teams. So I think that's something that you won't hear a lot of talk about, but it's something that I think could be a huge factor in the game.
Joined by Jory Mittelstadt on the Jeff Blair Show. He is host of The Bottom Line, presented by BetTheGreek.net. You can hear it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Of course, with it being the Super Bowl, there's in addition to bets on the game, there's also prop bets,
yes,
an endless series of prop bets. Got to ask you this. Do professional gamblers, big-time guys, will they look at a prop bet? Will they drop some money on it for yucks, or do they just kind of, you know, kind of wrinkle their noses at it and go, that's for the amateur?
Yeah, professionals will play. One of the drawbacks, because of how it's evolved over time, and there are now so many, like a lot of books, they'll have at least 1,000 prop bets on the Super Bowl. And that's where, so sort of complete that thought. So mm-hmm. One of the things that kind of steers them away is there's low limits generally on prop bets. They don't allow you to bet, you know, $5,000 on
right.
a particular prop bet. The limits tend to be lower on a lot of them. Having said that, where the professionals see an edge, and this is what we talked about last week on, you know, the bye week show, and we'll obviously be spending a lot of time on this Sunday, is because of how many prop bets exist now, they can't be right or accurate, so to speak, on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the professionals will look and scour to find where they've made mistakes and where there's value. And so now that doesn't mean they're always right, and that the fact there is, again, what we'll call a bad number or a line that shows people some value, especially the professionals. But there are opportunities out there. A lot of that has to do, though, with how you see the game playing out,
mm-hmm.
In addition to looking back at numbers. Because most of the props, like when you look at player props and things like that, the odds makers are looking at a full season of data. So when the over-under number for, let's say, Rob Gronkowski's catches, you know, receptions in the game is 6.5, well, you could be pretty sure that he averages between 6 and 7 a game over the course of a year, over the course of several years. But there are other opportunities in matchups, player on player, and other things where you can find value. So yes, professionals will look because, hey, that's what their job is, to find an edge, and they'll look for it.
What are some of your favorite prop bets this year?
What I try to do is the type of props that I like are player props, you know, running backs, receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends, both individually and matchups,
mm-hmm.
where they pit, you know, one wide receiver against another, you know, Lynch versus Blunt props, whether it's yards, and one will be favored where you have to lay yards or you can take yards. So I look at a lot of those, and then I'll look at different props involving each team, whether it be yardage, how many points they'll score in the game during different points of the game, some of the game flow props, like what will the result be in the first half versus the game result. Like, there's all sorts of those props.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I go about it is, and this is what I would recommend, it doesn't always work, but what I try to do is I try to figure out, A, how the game is going to be played, how it's going to play out. In other words, how do the two teams match up? What do we expect one team to do versus the other, like I laid out in what you asked me about the keys to the game?
Mm-hmm.
So you try to predict how the game's going to play out. And then you look at the props that follow the way you see the game playing out. I'll give you an example, and I don't want to take too much away from Sunday, but the corners on both teams, the top two in particular, with the Legion of Boom, with Maxwell and Sherman on the Seattle side, and while there's been so much talk about Brandon Browner, he's really their third cornerback, and I'm talking about Darrell Revis and Kyle Arrington. On the New England side, these are top drawer corners. So in my opinion, I think the offensive coordinators and the quarterbacks are going to have to look to their secondary receivers will be matched up against the third and fourth corners, especially when they trot out three and four wide receiver sets, and also the secondary tight ends like a Tim Wright for New England and Heffelt for Seattle. Because I think that's where they're going to have to throw the ball, right, to have success. So I'm looking at a lot of the props with the secondary receivers, secondary running backs, like a Shane Vereen maybe, who's mainly their third down back and I think could have a really big role in this game. So those are the kinds of things I'm looking at, and that's how I approach the props.
Jory Mittelstadt joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. He is host of The Bottom Line, presented by BetTheGreek.net. Which you can hear every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. As we said, New England's a one-point favorite. I'm going to ask you, probably bad luck. I don't know. What do you think happens?
Well, I think what's interesting, you know, I've been looking at a lot of the quote-unquote expert picks, whether it be on NFL.com, on ESPN, on Sportsnet, everywhere. And what's interesting, as you would expect with a pick'em or one-point spread, the expert picks are really evenly split.
Mm-hmm.
I think it truly is a very, very good matchup. I expect the game to be close. I don't expect there to be a ton of points scored. I think there's going to be a real feeling out period for the first quarter, maybe quarter and a half. And we talk about this always in big games. Turnovers are going to be huge. I think the winner of the turnover battle likely wins the game, and that's not earth-shattering. But I think here's a stat for you that I think says a number of things. And we always hear about Belichick with 2 weeks to prepare, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When he's got 2 weeks, they're awfully tough to beat. Well, the last two Super Bowls against the same team, it has not helped. Having said that, over time, that matters. And the stat I'm referring to is when Bill Belichick coached Patriot team, plays a playoff game anytime in the playoffs against a team they did not face in the regular season, meaning that other team didn't get a look at New England up close and personal,
mm-hmm.
He's 11-0. Now, I can trot out a million stats that can support things on either side. I think, though, given the 2 weeks to prepare, and I think that the Seattle defense, while great, is just slightly overrated because this late-season run, they haven't really played any really good quarterbacks, and their defense showed vulnerability in both playoff games. Carolina moved the ball, but turnovers killed them, and Green Bay moved the ball and got way too conservative in the second half and didn't punch it in on the 1 foot line and the 1 yard line in the first quarter and settled for field goals. I think that given this 2 weeks, Belichick, McDaniels, and Brady, that threesome, they're going to figure out the right game plan to do enough to that defense, the Seattle defense, to get enough points to win the game. And I also think that they're going to scheme on defense whereby Russell Wilson is not going to have the opportunity to break the pocket and make big plays with his legs. And I think Lynch will get his, but the receivers don't scare anybody. And if Russell Wilson can't buy enough time for them to get open, I think Seattle's going to struggle to score. So I think New England's going to win a 21-17 type game. That's how I'm looking at it right now. Would it shock me if Seattle won? Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because of all those little factors like big plays and special teams and turnovers could make this game go either way. I don't see a blowout either way, but I think New England will win a close one.
Jory, it was good to talk to you today. Thanks so much.
Hold on. I got to ask you, who you like?
Oh, who do I like? Well, I always base it on which fans are going to be easier to troll on Twitter. I'm tired of Marshawn Lynch. I hope New England pounds the living hell out of them, to be honest. I'd like 43-7 to be great, but it won't happen. But
yeah, I don't see that either.
I'm all behind New England.
All right.
All righty.
And do you have time to give me your favorite prop bet? What are you playing?
I'm not much of a gambler. No. I kind of like the Katy Perry. Yeah, I mean, that's,
yeah, there's like eight Katy Perry props.
Yeah. I'm taking a look. I kind of like the skirt or dress.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty safe. Pants below the knees, I can't. I mean, based on what she wore to that news conference, there's no way that she's going to underskimp at the Super Bowl. It's just not going to happen.
I agree with that as well.
Thanks, all right, man.
Jeff.